So don't you like the way that I tease that? Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make you nervous about the Chef's Challenge.
I'm never nervous about your Chef's Challenge. I always know it's going to be weird and odd and at the same time,
sometimes fun. Sometimes it's lovely.
Yeah, rarely anymore.
Sometimes there's a convenience store.
All right. Hey, man, I'm up to the challenge. I can do it.
Anyway.
As long as it's not, you know, the sauerkraut and the hot dog thing again, which you've already done, so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
That can be so good, though.
Well, sauerkraut certainly can be, indeed.
What's wrong with hot
dogs? You know, it was great talking with him. That's very cool that he, you know, just sort of found his way into farming that way and has such care for what he's doing and, you know, has got the heritage breed animals, the Berkshires. Oh, my gosh, it's such a great hog, and that's pretty cool.
Those chops that we get, those T-bone chops that we get from them are...
Pork T-bone.
Terrific flavor.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I mean, what's your favorite cut of pork, period, no matter who's raising it or whatever?
Ooh, it depends on what you want to do. I mean, honestly, you know, of course it depends on what you want to do. Do you want to braise something? Do you want to make stock? Do you want to grill something?
Mm-hmm.
There's almost... On the heritage breeds, it's not the most tender cut, but there's a skirt cut that you can get that makes just the best tacos.
Oh, okay.
You know, you can marinate that nicely, and like when you make carnitas with that, season it, chop it up as soon as it comes off the grill, season it again, hit it with salsa, load it in the tacos with grilled onions, and that's what I want actually right now. As a Sunday afternoon goodie.
I could eat that too.
About 40 of them.
Fresh lime, cilantro, jalapeno. I love fresh lime juice with that.
I bet our producer Luke could eat 41.
All right.
We've gotten the thumbs up. He could eat 41 of those tacos.
Pork is so... I just love confying pork. I just love it. You know, one of the reasons we like barbecue so much is because it's cooked slow and long, and it's just so beautifully tender, and it's all pulling apart, and it has so much flavor because they, you know, cure it and smoke it and do all these wonderful things to it. And then you have all these opportunities with barbecue to put all different types of sauces with it. And I have to admit, I'm fond of, I have to say it out loud, Andy Nelson's. I love him. I love their pork. And, I love their Bama sauce, man. I love
that sauce.
Well,
they've got their process. They've got their process and their sauce.
Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, we should get him on the show. But it's
get him to teach you how to tackle on the radio.
Yeah. So also with the process of either barbecuing something or the French way and confying it, which of course it's just immersed in fat and slow cooking.
It's a pretty different process.
So good. No, yeah, it's totally different. But my point is they're both tender and pulled apart meat basically, or they can be. When you confit something, you don't have to pull it apart. You can leave it in large pieces.
One thing is true about both of those things. I always want pickles. I always want a pickled something with
a tart
with
pickle?
Pork confit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Or with barbecue. Either way, I always want pickles. So what would you say are maybe, I don't know, like the two most popular pork dishes over time that you did or back in the day?
Gosh, a long time ago I used to make a grilled pork loin with sweet potatoes that we cooked with butter, brown sugar, Gosling's rum. Oh my gosh, that was so good, and people just loved it. That was very definitely
the rummy sweet potatoes.
Yeah, it was definitely that very southern down home sort of dish.
Pig at a cocktail party kind of dish.
Right, and also serving, you know, something that was braised, because I didn't used to confit things. That's something I didn't do really when I first started cooking. So
you've only become so French over time.
That's true. Yeah. It is very true. Having traveled to France is what made me become much more French in my style and cooking. But I really would have braised pork back in the day as well. And the pork and collard greens, really tender braised pork with mm-hmm. collard greens, is just amazing. And then add Hop and John to that. So wonderfully slow-cooked greens with Hop and John, which is black-eyed peas and rice, and braised pork. Oh, my goodness. And that of course, go ahead.
That sort of stuff makes me so happy to eat.
Oh, for sure.
But it is not, it's pretty far from an easy wine match to have like pretty spicy, bitter collards, real okay. smoky.
Okay.
You know, fatty pork. I mean, it's, you know, how much dark beer can you drink? You know.
Right. Well, if that's what works.
Definitely requires cornbread though, doesn't it require cornbread?
Oh, well, we always served cornbread. The other thing, I think a long time ago, pork tenderloin was, you know, sort of new and exotic. And I definitely...
That just meant they couldn't see the fat.
I definitely remember the first time I grilled a pork tenderloin and probably served it with a lot of fresh vegetables. And, you know, definitely would have been a big change in the approach towards thinking about pork and how healthy it can actually be. And, you know, this lean cut with the pork tenderloin, which virtually has no fat and certainly doesn't have marbling of fat. So any fat on the exterior of the animal or the exterior of that cut could be removed. And then just grilling, you know, wonderful zucchini or grilled great caramelized grilled onions, and or maybe serving it with fresh corn that was tossed with lima beans or butter beans and a brunoise zucchini, something like that, almost like a play on succotash, is definitely something I would have done many years ago, sort of when pork tenderloin first came out. But now we have the beauty of having the heritage breed. So there's all kinds of great thoughts towards pork.
The other evolution that I've noticed, besides people having awareness of source of food and the heritage breed being something that just about every diner has some awareness of, is the cooking temperature. There was a time,
true,
you know, like when I very first started working in restaurants, there was a time when if it wasn't cooked, everyone was terrified of trichinosis apparently, and if it wasn't cooked all the way through hard, dry, then people were completely bothered.
Sure.
And then you get a little bit of, in the opposite direction, you have some people who want to treat it like it's a piece of beef. And texturally, some pork cuts, medium rare or
it might be
rare,
a little odd.
Are not super attractive, mostly because the flavor's not developed that much. I think with an awful lot of cuts of meat, you really have to figure out, it's not just, well, this kind of animal, but it's this kind of animal, this kind of cut. Where is the most flavor?
Absolutely.
You know, there's that even different kinds of ducks, there's different.
I was just going to say, I mean, I do not like magret, rare or medium rare. I really prefer it, that fine line between medium rare and medium, because the texture is just so much better. It's easier to
eat. That's the question.
It's better on your palate, and it has great flavor.
Texture, flavor, and is it, you know, and is it still juicy? Do you have the caramelized flavors that you want? I mean, that's.
And with most pork cuts, medium is usually.
I think you need
really nice.
The thoughtful cooking is probably gonna. Mm-hmm. But exactly, is that to cooking to a line? Is that starting at a higher temperature and getting a good caramelization? It's thoughtful cooking to a temperature where you get maximum flavor that you're after, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are in the land of the chef's challenge.
With pork on the horizon.
Yeah, you have. Would you like the full scenario?
Sure.
You're in an open-air country kitchen.
Ooh, I like that.
It's kind of a gloomy day. It's a chill in the air.
Gloomy day, chill in the air. Okay.
Yeah. You have big wooden work tables to work on.
Sounds good. I like that.
A range from about like 100 years ago that you still have to build a fire in. Okay?
All right. Good.
And here,
love it.
Are your ingredients from 100 years ago?
Okay, lard, pork brain, oh God, pork liver, prosciutto, pork foreleg meat, pork bones, mirepoix, preserved tomato from summer, shallots, one dried, I can't read this, chili, what kind?
Arbol.
Arbol, chili, flour, eggs, dozen very fresh, Reggiano, Italian flatleaf parsley, carrots, butter, bottle of excellent Barbera d'Alba, Grissini, and pickled vegetables. Ooh, I like that. Okay, you give me a good one this time, although I don't know what to do with the pork brain, I have to say. And it's funny you said pork liver, because I was thinking about giving you a pork liver, and I'm like, oh, I'm not really sure how big a pork liver is. I've honestly never seen one.
They're big.
Yeah, and I bet they're strongly flavored. Okay, so I have a, you said I have a wood-burning stove, not a grill, or you said I did have a grill.
You have a big old range.
Just a range, no grill? Okay.
That has a wood fire built in it. There's then an iron top.
Okay. Well, obviously I would get the fire going, and the interesting thing about having a stove like that is that you can actually smoke things while it's on that stove. So I'm going to get out, basically, you could use like a rack that you would rest cake on or cookies on, and I'm going to put it over one of those grates, over one of the burners, and turn the heat, make sure that, not turn it down, but make sure that fire under there is pretty low. And I'm going to begin to sort of smoke the pork foreleg meat and get some good flavor into it. After, I'm going to take it off of there. I'm going to rub it with a little bit of fresh rosemary that isn't on here, and chopped up rosemary
You probably got some of these things in the garden.
Yeah, okay, so garlic and shallots and things. I'm just going to rub it into that meat, and then I'm going to immerse the foreleg meat into lard and just pop it in the oven and let it slowly begin to gently cook. And meanwhile, I'm going to get a pot on the stove and start to brown my pork bones. And I can brown it right in a little bit of that lard and get the bones to have some good color, add the mirepoix to it that I have here. And I'm actually going to put that arbol chili in there too. And I'm going to make a pork stock. And that's going to take many hours, actually. So that is also one of the first things I need. I have my two long cooking things working, basically. I'm confying that pork foreleg meat, and I'm making my stock. And my end result is, oh, I do have butter. My end result is going to be that I'm going to serve this pork leg meat in a broth. I'm going to have the pickled vegetables on the side. I'm going to have the grissini on the side. These are going to be accompaniments to the broth. Obviously, I'm going to be drinking the Barbera, and probably starting right away because it's probably really cold out there. And I have flour, eggs.
I thought you were smoking something in your kitchen.
Flour, eggs, and Reggiano. So I'm going to make a little bit of pasta and put the pot on the back of the stove to start to get that to roll. And I'm going to make a very simple noodle and roll that out on that beautiful old wooden table, and just do it by hand and roll the dough nice and thin. Just slice it very quickly, the pasta dough, and I will eventually be cooking that and just tossing it with the butter and the Reggiano, which will be really great with the confit meat. The prosciutto, I'm actually going to have thinly sliced and laid out on the table so that when people are coming up to start to get a glass of wine or something, they have some wonderful prosciutto. But I'm also going to julienne a little bit of that and add it at the last moment to the pasta so that that pasta is basically a noodle with the Reggiano, has a little bit of prosciutto, and it ends up being an accompaniment to the plate that has the confit pork leg meat on it. And I will leave that in big pieces so you have these just like amazing tender pieces of pork. And I think a garnish for that pasta as well, or the noodles, would be also those roasted, the preserved tomatoes from the summertime. And if I popped those in the oven for a few minutes and got them just nice and warm, and again kind of julienned them and added them to the pasta at the end, and a little bit of the Italian flatleaf parsley just roughly chopped and over the top of the pasta. And what have I missed here? So the pork liver and the brain,
most important part.
Right. Well, I'm going to go back to that flour. I'm going to thinly slice, I hate to say this, the brain. I'm going to dust it with salt and flour, and I'm going to saute it in lard until it's absolutely golden brown on both sides and still tender on the inside. And that will also lay on the plate with everything. It's just going to be a big sort of platter of all this wonderful stuff that you just come up and get. So you have these big pieces of the foreleg meat confit, and you have the crispy pieces of the brain laid out on the platter. and the pork liver, since I don't have a grill, because if I had a grill, I would grill it, and that would be my first inclination. And I think really, I wish I had some buttermilk, because I think truly that liver needs a little bit of treatment. So if I did have buttermilk, I would have marinated it a little bit. But since I don't, I'm just going to hit it with a little bit of the Barbera and probably a little bit of bay leaf and thyme, and let it just sit in there for a few minutes, and then pat it dry and saute it at high heat in, again, some of the lard until it's really caramelized on the outside. Super, super, super great color, great flavor. And still, you know, you're probably going to have to do slices, like almost like a tranche cut of the liver because of the size of the liver. And just do those big, long slices in that pan and caramelize it on both sides until it's medium rare, and take it out and lay it on the platter. And since I do have the stock, I would have, of course, reduced some of that down and made a little bit of a reduction sauce. Again, probably would have hit it with a little bit of the Barbera or some sort of red wine I had around, and a little bit of that drizzled over the pork liver, and probably a little bit of brown butter on the crispy brain would be nice. So I think I did it. Look
you
at
did
that.
You did use everything.
I did.
Do you know what I gave you the ingredients list for?
No.
It's Enzo Brezza's grandmother's agnolotti.
Ah.
So instead of all those things being separate.
Okay. She puts it all in the yum yum.
You make the stock and reduce the stock.
Mm-hmm.
But everything gets made into a force meat, including the brain and the liver.
That would make a great pasta.
And the four leg meat and the prosciutto and the Reggiano. And actually a little bit of breadcrumb I left out.
Okay.
But all of that goes in, and one egg yolk goes into that force meat.
Maybe you should say who Brezza is.
A great Barolo winemaker, and his mother makes, maybe not perfectly shaped anymore, agnolotti, but the best I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And they're this little rectangular filled pasta. And it's that style of pasta there where it's just flour and egg yolk that make up the pasta itself. It's super rich.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sort of thinking about her with the and how great they are on a day like today.
That's a good memory.
And having a chance to watch her make that a little bit.
Your turn.
All right. Oh, my gosh. See, and I tried to not give you a phone booth to make it in. I tried to give you a nice romantic setting. And
I like the romantic setting.
Yep. I knew that starting out with the brain, you were going to be like, oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
Hate this man. Fresh ham. Berkshire.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you your environment, which is my current environment, since my house is under construction.
Radio studio.
And that means that I have an electric stove in my laundry room that's barely hooked up.
Great.
That's it. And I have a laundry sink for water. It's
all
a
right,
great
so
situation.
I have a laundry sink.
Oh, and I'm going to buy a grill, so there is a grill out back.
All right, well, I'll do all the ironing and then...
and the laundry.
Let's see.
Meanwhile.
What am I going to do? Fresh ham, Berkshire, apples, cabbage. Spiced cabbage is full, so I'll probably pack it in a box. Vinegar my choice.
What did you just say? It's Napa
spice
cabbage.
I said spice cabinet is full.
Oh, spice cabinet. Cabinet is full.
Pork stock. Riesling. Ah, delicious. Try Riesling. Austrian Riesling. Porcini mushrooms. Yukon gold potatoes. There's a lot you keep in your laundry room. White corn.
Yeah, don't have a refrigerator either.
Your old laundry corn. Pumpkin. Smoked ham hocks. All right. So, first and foremost, what I'm after is really good flavor in this stock. So let's add the smoked ham hocks. Let's use your grill and grill off some of those porcini mushrooms. And some of the juice, the drippings from the porcinis and the ham hocks are going to go in that stock. And let's reduce that down nice and tight. We're going to add a little bit of vinegar to finish that. I don't know what kind of vinegar you have in your
cabinet. It can be whatever kind you want.
Let's say it is...
My laundry room has all sorts of...
Really good...
Great vinegar.
Really nice cider vinegar is what I'm after.
Okay.
The Riesling, so no specifications on, is it a Cabernet, Spätlese, Auslese, anything
Stop showing
like
off,
that.
Tony. Whatever you want it to be.
I want it to be good.
Okay, I say
Spätlese.
That one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a rubber vial or something. All right. What? Everyone gets upset.
I admire that ability.
So, all right. Something like that. So, let's start slow cooking the apples. Do we have onions? Let's start slow cooking the apples, and we need to roast the pumpkin off to get a lot of the moisture out of that. What I'm after is making like an apple and pumpkin sort of pudding. If I had some onions, I would use those as well.
You have onions.
Put that through a ricer to get a bit of a puree. If in your laundry room you have any butter or cream, I would use those to kind of flesh out that puree.
Mm-hmm.
Sneak one of those potatoes in there as well to give it just enough starch to kind of hold together properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that as a base for the dish. The fresh ham, if you have a nice big iron skillet or steel pan, what I like to do with that fresh ham is just salt it nicely, get it to room temp over a couple of minutes, sear it really well in the pan, and then slow cook it in the oven. Those grilled porcini mushrooms will be a garnish for that. That apple and pumpkin business will be underneath as a bit of foil for that. What do I have left to use? I have cabbage. I have corn. I think the corn, maybe still potato left, but I don't. That's too many starches at one time. I can't do that.
I can.
I know. Sorry. The cabbage I would make a little vinegary salad out of, and the spice cabinet is full. I'd probably use a little bit of toasted sesame and a drop of sesame oil and maybe even a little tamari or something like that in that, and a little tiny bit of heat, what are those little Korean chili peppers called? Gochujang, something like that. Something gives a little bit of an accent pop because the dish is going to come off a little bit sweet. You got a wine that's a little bit sweet that'll show the thing off. It'll have enough strength for the pork. Plenty of black pepper cracked on that pork when you sear it off as well. And the corn, I think the corn I would want to just cook it in very high heat for a very short space of time in a little bit of nice fat if you had a little bit of pork fat or could even be butter cut with a little bit of oil and a little drop of that cider vinegar again. But that is as a bit of a garnish around the plate. If you cook it in high heat enough, in low enough fat, it's almost like it has that popcorn-y kind of crunch to it. And that's what I'd be after, the little tiny bit of caramelization and a little bit of crunch that you get on the corn like that. And that can garnish all around. And I think I'm done.
Okay.
Hope that works.
Seems like it.
Your laundry's going to smell a lot like pig.
Yeah.
So, well, that's all we have. All we have time for on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
Thanks for listening. If you want to download this or any other broadcast, please check out our podcast on the WYPR website, wypr.org. If you want to follow Chef Cindy Wolf on social media, please.
You can follow me on Twitter at Chef Cindy Wolf and on Instagram at Chef Wolf.
Have a great Sunday.